The following recording has a number of different options available to you. The first is the recording of the current Tafyomi 13th cycle, and it's done rather rapidly without great detail. That's followed by a very fast review that enables you to go over the daf in about 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by a recording of the Tafyomi from the previous cycle, done at greater length, more detail, and also with a different ambience, a different audience. You can use one for your original learning and one for your review, but whatever you do, enjoy. Today's daf of Masechet Eruvin is daf Vav, and we are holding on daf Hei Amid Beit, Om Rechonim Barava Omer Rav. Mavoi Shinifratz Pitzidon, Be'eser Mirosho Be'arba. Now remember that yesterday we discussed the Machloket with Rav Huna, on the one hand, who says that a Pirtzet Namovoi cannot be larger than Arba'at Tvachim. Now here we have this Machlokes. So both are, Rav Chanan Bar Rav is quoting Rav. Rav is saying that it depends where the Pirtza is. If the Pirtza is on the front of the Mavoi, can we have our picture book here? Pretty picture. Now here we're talking about a Mavoi which is wider than 10 Amot. And the din is that if the Mavoi is wider than 10, we build a little bit to lessen it to 10. And that's exactly what they did. They built a little bit right here. And then some of that little bit fell down. So you have a small petah in the area next to the Korah. So you have that little piece of wall. There, he's machmer to say that even Arba'at Tvachim is more than Arba'at Tvachim. Bad news. On the side of the Mavoi where something collapsed, which is what we saw yesterday, that's indeed 10 Amot Be'eser. Why is that? Maishna mitzido be'eser. I mean, I understand the reason that you're saying that 10 is considered to be okay is because of the rule that we have found all along. Up to 10 amot is considered to be an entranceway, a pitra, not a pirza. So if that's the case, why meirosho would it be any different? Can't we have a very wide up till 10 amot petra? What would be the need for keeping it less than 4? Omer of Huna, Bereder of Yeshua, there is no difference. You misunderstood the case. The case is that we're talking about Kagon Shenifratz Bekeren Zavit. When we're saying Barosho, we don't mean in the wall. We mean at the corner where the wall connects to the other wall. Right here. Nobody makes an opening like that. That's insane. Because you're not connecting the front of the area to the side of the area. That whole place is completely parut. That's not considered to be an opening. So over there, if you have 4 tvachim, we can tolerate. Anything beyond that, it's clearly the whole thing is collapsed. So we do not view that as a petach. Petcha, bekeren zavit, lo avinchi. That's not the way that people make a petach. Whereas Rav Huna, and this was Rav Huna that we discussed yesterday at length, Rav Huna says, no, no, no. That then is echad zev, echad zev, biarba'ah, that actually makes absolutely no difference, no matter what the case is. And we're going to see clearly that Rav Huna was quoting Rav here, and indeed, there are many who have the girsa, as the old Gemara's had, that Rav Huna omar Rav omar, so notice Rav Chanan bar Rav was quoting Rav. And Rav Huna was also quoting Rav, and he says, you're wrong, that's not what Rav said. Rav said, echad zeh ve'echad zeh, it's always ba'arba'ah, consistently, whether, nothing to do with Keren Zavit, whether it's literally in the front or whether it's in the side, it cannot be more than 4 tefachim. V'chein omar le Rav Huna Rav Chanan bar Rav. Rav Huna told Rav Chanan bar Rav, who had quoted Rav in this way, as claiming that there was a difference between a normal pirtza, which could be considered a petach up until 10 amot, or a pirtza bekeren zavit. Rav Huna said to Rav Chanan bar Rav, now let me tell you, man, do not argue on me. I know what Rav said, and I'll prove it to you. Lo tiflog aloi, you're wrong, because there was an actual maysa where Rav came ladam charya. And it's very interesting. Damcharia literally means bloody hell. Or worse, actually. But V'omar uvda kavati. And he did exactly what I said. And he passed that mavoi, even though there was a pitcha that was less than 10 amot on the side. And he was mach, but it can't be more than 4 tvachim. So don't go telling me, theoretically, what Rav held. This was a maizah shahaya. Omar lei. So Rav Huna Rav Chanin bar Rava said to Rav Huna, I agree that that was the story. But that wasn't because Rav held that way. It was called bloody hell for no reason. He came to a place that was a Bika Mutz. It was filled with Amiorites, were Mekel and Shabbos and Erevin. And he saw that, oh my God, do I have a problem over here? I'm going to start being Mekel on them that they can have 10 Amos. They'll already be Mekel to have 3 miles. You know, forget it. So he was Bika Mutz of a Gadar Bagetta. This is a phrase that wherever there is a location that requires us to be machmir because of the fact that people in that specific place need help, Gadar Bagetter means to be geder pirtza. So you put up a fence where people will come to Chilul Shabbos or whatever the case may be, in this case Chilul Shabbos. And therefore Rav was very machmir on them. You are wrong to extrapolate from that that Rav really held that that's the halacha. He did not hold that that's the halacha. Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, the truth is, I've got to tell you that Kavati Rav Huna Mistafa. What Rav Huna is claiming, that this was not just a chumrah, but that this was really Rav's opinion, is very reasonable. Why? Because we can learn from another case where there is no argument about what Rav said. And we see from that case, the Korah, that Rav Huna was right in Rav, namely, that whether you're talking about on the front of the Mavoi or on the side of the Mavoi, you always have to limit it to Arba'at Fakim. Why do I say that? Because think about this case, the Yitma. Mavoi Akum. Here we have a case where, as you see in the picture over there in the Rashi, you have a Mavoi that goes from one Rishut HaRabim to a perpendicular Rishut HaRabim at the corner. So it's basically like a shortcut where you cut through between one Rishut HaRabim to the other. And it's open on both ends. So now the question is, how do we look at this mavui? Do we see this as a typical mavui mefulash? A mavui mefulash you cannot carry. Everything that we've been talking about is a mavui satum. In this case, it's open on both ends. Or one could say, well, it is really open on both ends. We have two mavuot that have a petach in the side. That's not called open on both ends. And you don't look through from one Rishut HaRabim to another. So we were confused, what is the halacha over here? So Rav indeed said, no, you have to be machmer, that this is essentially a mavui mefulash. Now, I would assume that the reason that he's saying it's a mavui mefulash is because the turn at the end of the mavui is so big that according to Rav, you cannot view that as a petah. You have to view it as a pirza, which means that for all intents and purposes, it's open at the end. And Shmuel says, terato kesatu. Now, first let's define what size of a mavui are we talking about? And then we could figure out how wide the bend was. So what was the width of that turn? Now, if you're trying to tell me, Ilema, the Yoter Mi Eser, that indeed the place where it turns is more than 10 amot, I mean, then how could anybody deny that this is indeed a mavui mefulash? Because nobody is matir a mavui that has an opening more than 10 amot. So what Shmuel would say that this is a mavui satum, even if it really was a mavui satum, it wouldn't be a mavui satum with an opening that big in the side. So therefore, we've got to be talking about over here, elalav, we're talking about that it's an acceptable size. It's 10 amot or less is okay to be considered to be a petach and not a pirtza. So Shmuel is saying, I don't understand. Why should we view this as anything different than a typical mavui satum with an opening in its side? You don't look through it to see Rishus HaRabim on the other end. So therefore you have two separate mavuot, each one of which happens to have a large doorway, so to speak. But that's okay. You're allowed to have a large doorway. So we're talking about Eser. And therefore, what is Rav's opinion? That it's mefulash? Obviously, Alma, Pirtzat Mavui, even Mitzido, according to Rav, is not acceptable a Pirtza of Eser. It must be that it's Arba'at Fakim, exactly as Rav Huna is saying. So from this machloket about the Mavui Yakum, we can conclude that Rav Huna's approach is correct when it comes to the din of what is the shear of a Pirtza versus a Petach in a Mavui. Alma, Pirtzat Mavui, Mitzido, be Arba'at. Now, how would Rav Chanan bar Rava, who was the one who claimed that Rav said four only where it was on the corner, but if it's in the middle of the mavui or in the top of the mavui, we end up saying it's fine to have up till 10 amot, how would he explain the fact that this mavui is considered to be mefulash according to Rav? Ah, Rav Chanan bar Rava will say, you don't think that there's a practical nafkamina in a mavri that is mefulash on both ends to rishus harabim, what does that have to do with the typical mavri that is going parallel to rishus harabim that has an opening in the side? There's a very good reason why this mavri should be looked at differently. If you want to cut across the rishus harabim and the traffic is heavy on Fifth Avenue, let me tell you, every cabbie in the city is going to be running through this mavri to cut across and to get to the street. Because it's going to be a mokum that's bake be'rabim, right? Because basically it serves as a shortcut to get you around the corner. I'm going to sit and wait for the light. Okay, so this is a very special case. It's obviously not the same as a mokum that's running along the street and has another opening on the side. You've got to be crazy to turn into there. Why would you turn into there? That's a private alleyway that doesn't get me anywhere. It doesn't help me. This helps me. And therefore, shine hatam de kabake be'rabim. Of course, where you have a place that becomes bottled to rishus harabim because people are cutting through it, there you've got a serious problem. And in that case, we need to have a limit on the size that makes it very difficult to view it as anything but a small doorway. So that way you need to have arba tefachim. But in a pinami, in a normal case, what Rav, why would Rav say that you need to have arba tefachim? He would have agreed that you could have esar amot. That's the way I see it. Ravuna was not required between the two cases. Now, wait a minute. Are you telling me now that Aliba de Ravuna, that, oh boy, now I'm really confused. We had a halacha before where everybody was perfectly happy, where we had the case before according to Ravami and Ravasi, right? If you have a pas that is just for talking, it's matir a pirza in a mavoi ad eser amos. Nobody argued on that. That's what we said before. Now, what you're doing now is you're forcing me to rethink that whole thing. Rabami, Rabasi. We thought maybe somebody has all the Rabami, Rabasi. No, everybody owns the Rabami, Rabasi. So that was the case where you had an opening in a mavri. As long as you had, remember, four tvachim where the korah was, so then the korah was fine. The problem over there, what was that? The mavri was poritz or wasn't poritz? The only question over there was whether I can use that korah or whether people are going out of the doorway. But it certainly does not take away the din of the mavri from the area that's behind the korah, as long as the korah is there on a pas arba. So are you telling me, now you're telling me, no, according to Rav Huna, even where it's not baki barabim, even where it's a typical mavri, and it's going along the side of the rishus harabim, that now I'm saying Rabami and Rabasi are wrong, there's no such thing as a mavri that can be poritz ad eser amot. So that would mean that Rav Huna is talking about Afa Gav de Lo Baki Barab. You're telling me, oh, that's a different case. That's a case where the Rabim come. You mean, you see, all along I thought that Rav Huna was Badafka talking about where it is Baki Barab, and that was where the Machlokis is. Now you're telling me, no, Adarabba. He were talking about the Lo Baki Barab instead of Mashino Min Rav Ami Varabasi. Then now I don't understand the whole discussion we had before. And says the Gemara, the case that we had over there is not talking about whether it was an open. This is a mavri mefulash. Now think about the difference. Ravami and Ravasi were talking about a collapsed wall. A collapsed wall is easy to walk over. There's little pieces sticking up out of the ground. Who's going to be driving over that? Of course, over there we were talking about ad eser amot. That's something else. But over here we're talking about it was made this way. So it's just beckoning. Walk through me. You don't look at it as having it as a problem, as a collapse, as a curb. There's nothing. It's a street that's going through. Why shouldn't I use it? So if I'm walking down Fifth Avenue and I want to sit there and fight everybody, I'll cut across. There's a big difference. There's Bikiyas Rabim in that fashion, and then there's just a place where it's uncomfortable. So over there, Hatam the Ike Gedude. Gedude means that there's a little bit left on the bottom that you're going to have to step over. And it's going to be more than love. They're going to have a 3 tefachim high or 4 tefachim high. So nobody's going to walk over that. I mean, it's certainly not, I would say nobody, but it's not comfortable. It doesn't become a place that beckons you to cut across. So even though you could go in there, there is still a difference between the cases. So we have a straight out case of Baki Barabim like this. We have a break in a wall where each buggy do they. And then we have a break in a wall, the let buggy do they, which goes along the side of Rishus Harabim. Over there in Achinami, Ravuna Tainas, that Rav held, that in a normal case, without Baki Barabim, you still cannot go beyond 4 tefachim, that it should look like a doorway, and not look like a whole major entrance. Tan Rabban, Ketzad Me'arvim Derek Rishut HaRabim. Now, we know Derek Rishut HaRabim is certainly, we've had many times back, if you recall, back in Shabbat, the idea of a Libra Rebbe Yehuda, that it's possible, if you have a Rosh Rabim that has apartment buildings on either side, that it's possible to actually carry from an apartment that you own on one side of the street to an apartment you own on the other side of the street by turning this area with a lechi and a korah, turning it into a break in the Rishut HaRabim. And that's the question, whether it's really Rishut HaRabim, if it's covered on the two sides with another siman. It sounds like that's what we're talking about over here. Since we don't pasuk like that, and if Hachamim shout on Rabbi Yehuda, ain't marking Rishut HaRabim bekach, and so on, we're going to turn out to recognize that what we began to discuss here is Derek Rishut HaRabim doesn't really mean Derek Rishut HaRabim, and we'll now attach it to our sugya, which is why it strikes us as something of a non sequitur to suddenly begin talking about this here. But we'll see that it's very nagia. So it says in a braita, how do you make an eruv? It doesn't mean it means the way we call an eruv. In other words, how would it be possible to be metaken, the Rishut HaRabim, in order to be able to carry with an eruv from one side to the other? Well, if you make a tzurat ha-petach and you put a lechi v'korah mikan, you can actually carry across the Rishut HaRabim. Chananya says, no, it's really a machloket, and it should say, aliba the Beit Shammai, you have to make a door on both sides. Oh, it said, delet mikan v'delet mikan, and you'd have to make sure that when you go in and out of the area, you close the doors. Then already it's considered to be a private rishus. You put a delet on one side. Now all of this is very opaque. We're going to talk about it in detail in the next part of the daf. You just make a door on one side, and then you can use a lechi or a korah on the other side, and then everything is fine.
Not necessarily closing the door.
I said it's opaque. The Gemara is going to ask that later. Ask the Gemara now. How could this mean rishus harabim? You can't make an Eruv of Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim mim arva? Can you indeed do such a thing? Vatanya. Yeter alkein. Now, it started off with a case of a pedestrian bridge over a street, or a highway over a street, where Rabbi Yehuda tained that underneath the bridge is considered to be a Rishut HaYachid. Because since you have the two supports on either side of the bridge, plus you have the top in which he holds pitikra yored v'sotem on either end. So it's a completely sealed area with virtual walls, and therefore it's a din of Rishut HaYachid. But I want to tell you more than that, says the Rav Yehuda. The case over there was either a bridge, or, which you find over here in the Rova very often, you have a home that has an extension over the street. So that the sides of that extension close the street beneath it. But I want to tell you even more than that, says Rabbi Yehuda. And this was the case that we spoke about so many times. That Misha Yulo Shnei Batim, a guy who has two dirot, one on one side of Rishut HaRabim, one on the other side of Rishut HaRabim. So he needs to carry his cholent from one to the other. So what does he do? Usa lechi mikan, v'lechi mikan, okora mikan, v'kora mikan, v'nosein v'notein v'emtza. He is able to carry through the street to the other side of the street. Amrullah, what? Ain't Marvin Rishut HaRabim Bekach, understand? There's no such thing as making Erev of Rishut HaRabim. Now, notice the word Bekach. Okay, so I know what you're going to try to say. You're going to try to say, what are you asking? We just discussed being Ma'ariv Rishut HaRabim with a door on one end, with a Tzuras HaPesach. And you're asking me from this case? This case was Rabbi Yehuda was trying to be Ma'ariv with nothing, without a Tzuras HaPesach, without a Delet, just have a Lechi or a Korah on either end. Maybe that's all they were saying. What, for such a junky kind of hakara or virtual wall, you're going to be, no, you need to have it. Maybe that's all they mean. So what are you asking me? So b'chitem, you'll try to tell me, no, what do you mean? All they're saying is b'kach. Well, b'kach means b'kach for the lo marva. But if you want to go all the way and use the dlatot, I'll leave it a Beit Shammai, or one delat, I'll leave it a Beit Hillel, maybe you could. The Omar Rabba Bar Barachan, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. If it wouldn't be that Yerushalayim's doors would shut at night, and what is it referring to over here? It's referring to the cargo. The cargo, right across the street. So it used to be, as we see in the map, in the cargo itself, that the cargo would go from one end of the city straight through to the other end. And it reached the wall on the other end, which had Sha'arim on it. If it wouldn't be that those sha'arim would close, then the karta, which goes to the entire city, would turn it into a Rosh Hashanah, since it had a population of 600,000 plus, and the karta is more than 16 amot wide. So if it wouldn't be that the doors would be shut at night, it would be called a Rishit HaRabim. So what does that mean? It means, well, we're going to see there's even more than that. Because Omar Ula, Ani Avuli de Bechuza. Look at the Avuli de Bechuza. Mole Dalto Tehem Nina Lot, Chayavina Lehem Yishum Rishit HaRabim. Same thing was true in Bechuza, that they also had it was a very large city, it had a population of over 600,000 people, and it had a Rosh Hashanah went straight through from one to the other, so that you need to have every single night, you would have to close it up. Now you're claiming that a little bit of Beit Hillel, you only need one door. I don't know even if you need to close it or not. That was as Rabbi just asked, that we'll see in a moment. But you certainly don't need doors on either side. Over here it's saying if it wouldn't be that those doors were shut, and the whole city would now become a closed area, then it would be called a Rishit HaRabim. So, how in the world are we being martyred over here? Omer of Yehuda, we made a mistake. We said Rishit HaRabim, obviously, Ketzad Ma'arav and Rishit HaRabim is a contradiction in terms. Well, that isn't what it meant. It meant Ketzad Ma'arvin Mevo'ot HaMefulashim Rishit HaRabim. But something else completely. It was talking about over there, what do you do about a Mavoi Mefulash? You make it surat ha-petach mikan, v'lechi mikora mikan, and that's true. So, if it's a lechi mifulash, that's the only way that you can seal it up. Now, when it comes to the question of our case, of the akmimut, so that's a question of whether we view it like the Rishut HaRabim, or like a mavui mifulash, or do we move view it like a mavui satun. And that would be, again, what is the size of the akmimiyut? Is it considered to be a doorway? Or is it considered to be a pirtza? And that would be, again, also the question of bikias rabin into the area. So therefore, it turns out that now we have a machloket here between Hananiah and the who learned that it's a machloket b'chamin Beit Hillel, and the Tanna Kamma that says Tzuras HaPesach on one end, Lakir Korah on the other end. Itmar Rav Amar Hilchat HaKetana Kama, which is how we pass it. You make a Tzirat HaPetach, and a Lechi, and that closes up one end, and then you have, that's the, would be this, basically. Where is it? Okay. Just in case you wanted to see what the Karta looks like with a lot of people walking through it. It's very difficult to imagine, man. Here you are. Traffic bumper to bumper going through the Karta. You're really a dummy. And okay, the rest is.
They got a line. They have both ways over there. No, just one. Not. Just one.
I give up. Okay.
At least I got the picture right.
Okay. And that's our Rav Paskins. And Shmuel says we Paskin like Hananya. We're obviously I'll leave it a Beit Hillel that you need a delet. Surat HaPetach is not enough. Now, according to Hananya, who is explaining that Beit Hillel holds, you need a delet on one end, as Rav Moti questioned earlier, does that delet need to be shut or not? Tzorech linol or ain't tzorech linol? I mean, it's a little funny to close just that one door. I mean, but okay, maybe that's what you need in order to make it into an area that is completely separated on one end from Shadrab. Tashma, the Omer of Yudah Mishmul, ain't tzorech linol. You do not have to shut the door. It just has to be a shuttable door. Maybe we don't even need a shuttable door, but that we're going to see. You don't need to actually close it. And some actually add that Omer of Matna, I had myself a Maisa of such a case, and I asked Halakha L'Maisa what to do, and Shmuel told me you do not need to close that door. They asked Rav Ana, Tzarich Lino or Ain't Tzarich Lino? And he told them, well, I never asked, but I know for a fact an actual case. We live in Naharda. In Naharda, the doors have been left in one location without moving for the past 100 years. They are already so covered with dust that it's gotten halfway up the door. So they've been sanded in already. You couldn't close that door unless you brought a bulldozer, okay? So they're timon ad palgeo ba'afa, they're half covered already with the ground level. And nonetheless, Mar Shmuel, who comes all the time to Narada, Did he ever say to anybody, oh, no, 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 you can't carry in our door. It's wide open. It's Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, he held that those doors, despite the fact that they can't move, still have a din of a door, and it's better even than the Tzrat HaPetach, and it's considered to be a closure. V'lo Omar l'u v'lo milah. Omar of Kahana, that's no raya. The doors of Narda were never closed, were never completely opened. So even though they don't move, but they're megufot havoy, they're halfway shut. And therefore, maybe that's why it's a hecker. Because I didn't leave them wide open. They left them open like Shayafo used to be. You know, it's sort of open, but you could tell that there is a shahr here. But we're talking about this. Stam a door open all the way against the wall. Maybe you don't even notice it. Is that what Hillel is mater or not? Kiyata Rav Nachman, and indeed when Rav Nachman came to Narda, he said, bring the bulldozers. Panuyala Afrayo, get the dirt out of here. Make them usable doors. What? You mean that Rav Nachman held you have to actually close the doors? Historically, no? No. But they need to be able to close. That's what he tied. If they're not able to close, they lose the shame of a delet completely. So Kivandru Uyotlin, he would agree that Afal Pisha ain't Ninalot. Nonetheless, it's okay. But I mean, if it doesn't even look like a door anymore, then Lachara, that's nothing. Now, there was a certain Mavui Akum that was in Narda. Now, this is not a Mavui Akum that was like the Mavui Akum we spoke about that cuts through a perpendicular street. Actually, this was a Chet-shaped Mavui, not a Dalet-shaped Mavui. So it didn't go cut through from Fifth Avenue to a street. It went back to the street where, or the avenue that it had gone into on the other end. So now, what they did over there, yeah, here we can probably get a picture in full color. What, are you trying to show me a picture that's not in full color? I'm outraged. Hey, wait a minute. You know what? They don't have it here.
What?
How could that be? This is an outrage.
You know funny.
Here we go. Full color picture. At last, we've got a need to buy this $2,000 chassis. There you go. This one picture alone was clearly worth the purchase price.
So what are we showing?
We're showing the Mavui as it goes around, and we're showing the Tzrat HaPetach at the corners, which we're going to discuss about in a moment. Thank you. That's a pretty one, actually. However, if you look in your Rashi, it's probably just as good, right? But, you know, you need to have a little bit greater power of abstraction. It's, you know, you read us out there, it's not color, it's not three-dimensional. I mean, how are you supposed to know what this is? I don't know. You know, maybe it's just a sign of a U-park or something. So, Mimela, what did they do? They were very machmiran. They gave them the chumras, both of Rav and the chumra of Shmuel. Romi alei chumra de Rav, chumra de Shmuel. And they said, you can't just put up a Tzrat HaPetach. You need to put up a door on each Mavui. Because basically what you have over here is two Mavu'ot, both of which are open into this Mavui on either side, which has nothing. Right? Because, I mean, this is according to Shmuel, this is considered to be, now, in need of a Delet. But according to Shmuel, of course, it doesn't need anything in this case, because it only has Esser. Okay, but Rav says, no, it needs, because Esser is considered to be a Pirtza. So therefore, they were Machayev both Chumras. First of all, they said, okay, we're going to treat it like Rav. Rav says, even though it's 10 Amot, that's the din of a Mavui Mefulesh. So both of these Mavu'ot are considered to have a broken end. But wait a minute, Rav Paskin, like the Tanakama, who said, you don't need a Delet, it's enough to put a Tzurat HaPet. Oh no, as far as that's concerned, we're going to be a Machmer like Shmuel. And Shmuel said, Alok is Kechananya. And Chananya said that Alibet Beit Hillel, you need a door, and a Tzurat HaPetach is not enough. But wait a minute, but according to Shmuel, you don't need anything. Because it has a din of a Mavui Satum. That's interesting that Rashi learns, when he says you don't need anything, he doesn't mean you don't need anything. He says, I was Mekabel for my Rebbe, it's not my own pshat. My own pshat is, that Gemara means what it says. You don't need anything. But I was Mekabel from Rabbi Amori, that it means you need a hecker at least. You need a lechi on that side.
Is it Rashi?
Rashi says. It means kisatum, meaning like the door of a Mavi Satum, which would require a lechi or kor, is what it means. Fine. So, but according to Shmuel, you certainly don't need a door. You don't even need a tzirat apeta. So why are we being machmer? Well, for that, we're treating it karaf. So no matter what you do, we hit you on either end. Wait a minute, you can't do that. You got to make up your mind. Who are you paskin like? You gotta, what do you mean? I'll paskin like Rav, but according to Rav, I don't need it. No, but for that, I paskin like Shmuel. But according to Shmuel, it's not even my foolish. No, for that, I paskin like Rav. Me, I didn't ketrei chumre. I thought it says, Vatanya. Look, we really paskin like Beit Hillel. Now, if you want to do ketivrei Beit Shammai, you can. If you want to do Kedivrei Beit Hillel Oseh, which doesn't make any sense, if you want to say you just said that halacha like Beit Hillel, what do you mean? We leave it as an optional halacha? What's that supposed to mean? But we'll get back to that. What's important to us, however, is this next piece. You want to select the kulais of Beit Shammai and the kulais of Beit Hillel. So you always have somebody rely on. Mikulei Beit Shammai and Mikulei Beit Hillel, that's a rasha. But if you want to be machmer like Beit Shammai and machmer like Beit Hillel, when Beit Hillel is machmer, then you're an idiot. And Allah HaKatuv Omer, Aksil B'Koshech Olech, the fool walks in darkness, and that's what you're doing. You're a fool. Saying, well, I'm passing like Rav. Oh, so then it's okay. No, for that I pass like Shmuel. What are you, an idiot? You can't do it both ways. Now, first, let's analyze the Braita. Because this Braita, I mean, you can't ask a kasha from a Braita that is obviously wrong. I mean, it must be Meshubash. A gufa kasha. You first say, Li'olam alachaka Beit Hillel, and then you say, but if you want to do like Beit Shammai, you can. If you want to do it, what is that supposed to mean? No. There were two different eras, remember. Originally, we had a machloket Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. Somebody wants, who was a member of Beit Shammai, does like Beit Shammai. Somebody wants to follow Beit Hillel, joins Beit Hillel. You have a chiyuv to do one or the other. But that was before the Bat Kol came out and said, we paskin like Beit Hillel. But once that Bat Kol came out, then already we have to go like Beit Hillel. Or, you know what, maybe not. Maybe the entire Braita was said after the Bat Kol. But remember that Rabbi Yehoshua, he doesn't believe in Bat Kol. So when the Bat Kol came out by the Tanur Shel Achnai, he stood up and says, excuse me, we're the ones who are paskening here, Lo Bashamayim Hi, and whatever you think the halach is, Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't agree. So he defined it. He disagrees with the Bat Kol. So then, if that's the case, when it says you could do whatever you want, it's going like Rabbi Yehoshua. Tosis points out that nobody took that Bat Kol because it was understood to be in the covenant of Rabbi Elazar, but it wasn't meant to be a real psak. Because that was the case. Oh, we paskin. You know, the walls start falling. The water spill. But it's about miracles. It's about Torah. So Tosis answers that, no, there in Afinami, where it was Lechvoda, we're talking about the Bat Kol over here, Legabi Beit Hillel, we're over there, Rabbi Yehoshua, the way Rabbi Yehoshua responded was, what's going on over here? Who cares what your opinion is? So that already is a rejection of all Bat Kols. The Chachomim understood that in that particular case, all of these signs were signs in the honor of Rabbi Eliezer. V'boi Tamar could say a third possibility. Maybe it means like this, Hachi Fama. Kol Heicha, when it's saying Harot Zalasot Beit Shammai, that doesn't mean literally Kebet Shammai, Kebet Hillel. It means like two groups of Tanoim or Amoroim who are arguing on each other. You can do it. Just be consistent. So if you find Trey Tanoi or Trey Amoroi, the Pligi Adari who are arguing very, very profound arguments that come down to a certain Yisod, exactly like the Machlok of Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. Be consistent. That's all we're saying. And lo lahavi kikuli damar vikikuli damar, don't follow the kulais of both sides when it's convenient for you. And don't choose the chumras of one and the chumras of the other when you want to look firmer than the next guy. But be consistent. O kikuli damar vikikumre ovid, o kikuli damar vikikumre ovid. Choose your sides. So, okay, now we understand that the Braita makes perfectly good sense. But now what you said doesn't make sense. How did we paskin both like Rav and Shmuel? So then we call Makom Kasha. Omrem Nachum Bar Yitzchak. No. The whole thing was a consistent psak like Rav. Because the Omrem Avuna Omar Rav. Halacha, it's true that Rav says the halacha is like the Tanna Kama. But Emorim Kein. La halacha, we don't want people to do that. We want people to be machmer with the delet. So I'm just telling you theoretically what the halacha is, but I don't want people to know. Therefore, they were machmer, not like Shmuel. They were machmer the way Rav wanted people to think the halacha was. That's all very nice, but what about according to Rav Ava, who quotes Rav as saying, that's the halacha and that's the lamaisa. So according to Rav, he said Halacha Morim came. So how do you explain this alleyway that was been foolish in our thought? It doesn't make any sense. Ma'ikel Amima. Amar of Shizbi, you misunderstand. There's nothing wrong with choosing the chumras of one shita and the chumras of another shita, or the kulas of one shita, the kula of another shita. Depends who you want to hold like. The only time that we say you're an idiot if you're machmir the chumrah of one and the chumrah of the other is where it contradicts itself. You can't have an inconsistent psak. That's all we're saying. So where do we say kilo avdinik chumrah de vetrei? And that's only echad esatrei hadadi. That's where you have an innate contradiction conceptually between the two piskei halachas. For instance, let's say we have a machlokas when it comes to tumah. What amount, if you have a remnant of a mate, where you have, normally you would have had tuma ba'el. In this case, the vertebrae were missing from the shidra, or there was a hole through the skull. In that case, it would not be matame ba'el. But what is the size of that chisaron? So Beit Shammai says, only if it's missing two vertebrae, then it's not matame ba'el. Beit Hillel says, no, it's a kula. Even if it's missing one vertebrae, it's also not metame. And what's the shear of a hole in the skull of Bugugole? But Shammai Omrim, well, you know, the typical hole in the skull is where some doctor drilled the brain, you know, and the poor patient died. So that's Kemole Magdeach, the size of a Magdeach of Rofim, which they use for brain surgery. And obviously the patient died. Beit Hillel Omrim, No. The shear would be Kadeshi Natil Menachai V'yamut. It's whatever a living person would have knocked out of his skull and would die, that is enough to be Matire, the skeleton, or the skull, in an oil. The Omer of, now what's important to us, is Omer of Yoram HaShemot, this Machloket is precisely the same, Le'in Yitrefa. So that according to Beit Hillel, if one Chulia is missing, then it's already a Trefa. Now if that's a Chumrah. According to Beit Shammai, it becomes the kula. So that's what we're saying. Look, you can't have it both ways. You've got to make up your mind. What is called a chisaron? If you're telling me that this is a chisaron, so then it's a chisaron across the board. It would be a chisaron lagabe treif. It would be a chisaron. If you tell me it's not a chisaron, so then it wouldn't be a chisaron lagabe treifus either. You can't say, well, I'm going to be machmer like Beit Shammai, that it's not considered to be a chisaron when it comes to being matame be'el, but I'll be machmer like Beit Hillel, that it is considered to be a chisaron when it comes to treifus. That's ridiculous. Either it is or it isn't. But the issue over here is two separate issues. Is a pirza called eser, is that called a petach if it's eser? That's all machloket. Does that have something to do with how you're supposed to be matured if it is a pirza, whether you need a delet or whether you need a tzurat apet? It has nothing to do with it. So therefore, I'm posking two completely separate things. I have a right to decide that I like that approach, but okay, I'll look at A, and I like a different approach, but okay, I'll look at B. There's no specific connection between the two. So, heka, delo satria dade avdina. And if there's no inherent conceptual problem, so then it's fine. Then I can posk him any way that I want, and I'm not called a ksil before shekholei. Rav amarav mavui shenifrat mitzido be'eser mirosho be'arva'a. What? So the Amar Pitzko. So why Mirosho is it any different? Why can't that be a petach? Omer of Unaber the Rosho, it's talking about Kagan Shinifrat Bekeren Zavit. And over there it doesn't look like a petach. Pitka Bekeren Zavit lo avdi inch. Ravuna says, you're misquoting Rav, Om Ravun Om Rav, Echadze, Vyechadze, Biar Ba'at Fachim. Vachin Omale Ravun Ravun Bar Rava, don't you dare argue on me, because I know exactly what Rav holds. The Rav equal the Damcharia, the Ovad Uvda Kavati. Omar Leh, that's true, but that's because Damcharia is one dam of a place, and it's Rav Bika Matza Vegadarba Gader. Omrim Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kavati Ravuna Mistava, but you know what? Ravuna seems to be right in Rav's Piskei Halachas, because he's telling that Rav says if it's more than Arba'at Fachim, it's considered to be a Pirza, and that is completely consistent with the following psak. Diyatma. Mavuyakum, Rav Omer Toratoke Mefulash, because we do not view the Akmimut, the turn in the road, as a doorway. Where Shmuel says, no, it's just a door. Toratoke Satum. So now, Babayaskidan, how wide is it? I mean, even a biyota me'aser, what Shmuel holds, if it's more than eser, it's considered to be a betach. Nobody holds that. Why would he say korato kesatum? So it's got to be that it's eser. And nonetheless, Rav is saying, I'm sorry, that is not a doorway. So clearly, if he says korato kemefulash, it must be that Ravuna was right, and that Rav holds pirtzat mavoi betzido is bi'arba'at tvachim. Rav Chanan bar Rava, how would he explain that? He would say, well, that's obviously different. Because over there, kabaki barabim, to get through to the other side. So what? Mechal de Ravuna Savar Afagav de lo baki barabim. So how do you explain the case we had before of Abami Verabasi, where the Mavli wall collapsed, and we said as long as there was a pas arba'a, it would be fine? No, over there it's talking about a collapse. Collapse is different. Over there, ika gidude, it's not comfortable to walk over. Hocha leke gidude. And wait a minute, what do you mean? Whoever heard such a thing? Vatanya, forget about the area underneath the bridge. Amar Rav Yehuda, even if there's no bridge, Misha Yulo Shnei Batim Bishnei Tzidei Rishut Harabim can make a lechemikan velechemikan or koramikan velechemikan v'nosei v'notein v'emtza. And Chachomim shouted Amar Marvim Rishut Harabim v'ka. So how come over here all of a sudden we're talking about Marvim Rishut Harabim? And don't try to tell me in Marvim Rishut Harabim v'ka. So it's only because of the law maharvi, but I mean, you could go beyond the lechi or korah, and you could put up latot or latot maharva. The Amar Rabba Barba Chanan Rabbi Yochanan Yerushalayim il malei daltot te'anin alot balayla chayavin alav mishum rishut harabim. The Amar Ulani Avulin Mechuzza il malei daltot te'anin alot chayavin alav mishum rishut harabim. And over here, you're saying you only need on one side a delit. Hello, what we're talking about over here, and it must be that Amar Rav Yehuda, how can you call my Kates and Marvin, Mivot Amafulashim, Lurishot Rabbim, not Rishot Rabbim Mamash. Oh, is it Tzrat HaPetach Mikan, Velach Mikora Mikan, Itva. Rav Amar, Yilkata Kitana Kama, that's how we pass it. Shmuel says, no, Halok Chananya, you have to have a Delet on one end of Libet Beit Hillel. Iboilu. Lechananya libet beit hillel. Does the door have to close or not? Tzarich linol or ain't tzarich linol? Tashmad yomer of Yiram Shmuel ain't tzarich linol. V'chein omer of Matna Shmuel ain't tzarich linol. Igre omer of Matna that I had an actual ma'isa and I personally asked Shmuel. He told me ain't tzarich linol. When they asked Rav Anna tzarich linol ain't tzarich linol, he said, Here's the best case. Hani avulid nardo. They can't move. They're timanat pugaya ba'afra. And I have enough of my shmuel v'lorma l'v'lomide. Omer of Kanan, no, that's no raya, because the avulid and b'chuzah were begufota for the halfway closed. And indeed, Gyotar of Nachman, he said, get the bulldozers out here and panuya l'afrayu. Lema kasover of Nachman, sorry, lino? Not necessarily. He might just hold ru'uyot lino. Hafopisha ininat lod. And they were Romeo like Chumri the Rav, the Chumri the Shmuel. That's a good latot. So Chumri the Rav, he says, it's Torah Tokum Mufulash. Ah, you'll say, so if you're going like Rav, he says, Aloka Katana Kaman, it's enough for Tzurat HaPetach. No. Legabi that, Kishmuel, who says, Aloka Katanach Nehanaya. But according to Shmuel, you don't need anything because it's Torah Tokum Satum. Or most you need a Lechi, according to Rashi's Rebbe. Kirav, the Omer Torah Tokim Mifulash. What? And me, I didn't betray Chumre. Vatanya lo lama lacha ke Beit Hillel, avarot se lasot ke dvari Beit Shammai ose, ki divrei Beit Hillel ose, mikuloi Beit Shammai, mikuloi Beit Hillel rasha, mikumre Beit Shammai, chumre Beit Hillel, lava katuv omer, haksil v'choshech olech, ela ike Beit Shammai ke kuleyem v'kechamureyem, ike Beit Hillel ke kuleyem v'kechumreyem. Now I'll go for Kasha. First you say, Lo Lama Loki Beit Hillel. Then you say, but it's optional. What word is such a thing? What are you, conservative rabbi over here? I wrote, Zilla Zokin Beit Shammai said, Lo Kasha, I'm Kodim Batko, Kami Akabako, or could be Haval Akabako when it's going, you can choose that's going a little bit of your shoe. Says, who cares about Batkos? Or you know what? It could be it's not even referring literally to Beit Shemaya Beit Hillel. It's just saying, HaRotzel HaSot, like one side of an argument, Ke'in Beit Hillel. So Kolecha the Meshkacha Tretanoi V'Tray Mo'ay, Depliya Adoni Ke'in Machloke Beit Shemaya Beit Hillel, Lo Le'aved Kekulu Demar V'Kekulu Demar, V'Lo Kechurme Demar V'Kechurme Demar, Elo O Kekulu Demar V'Kechurme Yavid, O Kekulu Demar V'Kechurme Yavid. Anyway, but getting back to us, so how did they do this crazy psak like both Rav and Shmuel's chumras in the Mova Yaakov? Omra Nachman Yitzchak. Now the whole thing was consistent with Rav, because even though Rav paskin like the Tanakama, Ravuna said Rav, it's true that's the halacha, but ain't moring. And we actually go like Hananya in Beit Hillel. Okay, new, very nice. And what about according to Ravada Barava, who says that Rav said halacha moring? What are you going to say? Omra Shizvi. You misunderstand. Ki lo avdinan is gechumre de betray is only where it's logically inconsistent. So echad is satra yahadad. Let's say the case of shidra of a gogolet. The tzadah shidra of a gogolet shechasru. So kamach yisarn b'shidra bet shamayim rim shtey chuliyot. Beit hilal omrim chuliyah achat. And the gogolet bet sham be omrim. Kamale magdea. Beit hilal omrim kadeshi natem menachai v'yamut. And Rabbi Yudah Omer Shmuel says exactly the same achlok as li and treifah. So if you're going to paskin that it is a chisaron, then it has to be consistently a chisaron. If you're going to paskin it's not a chisaron, it has to be consistently not a chisaron. But you can't choose your sugya where it's a chisaron, where it's not a chisaron. Over here, there's no relationship between the size of a pirza and the tikkun of a movi mafumaj.
Today's daf is daf vav, and we're right up to the two dots on the hayomim bit. Omer Rav Chanin bar Rava Amar Rav, Mavui Shenifrat Mitzidal Be'eser, Mirosho Be'arba'a. So according to the approach in Rav, of Rav Chanin bar Rava, we'll see that not everybody agrees that this is what Rav said, a Mavui that has a Pirza in its side, which we already discussed, that was the whole case where we had the Pas Arba'a, whether that would be sufficient to be Matir, Lohud, and so on, all those cases we had yesterday. The Shir there is indeed 10 Amot. Let me just get the picture opens that we remember what we're talking about. For those of you who have them or wrote, this is picture number 17. We discussed yesterday. I'm sure it says Bitsad. I don't know if it has the Pirtz of Erosha or not. Yeah, here it is. Picture number 27 would be a Pirtz of Erosha, where you had to close up a mavri that was larger than 10 amot. So you now have a piece that's jutting out. And then you amatir it with a korah. Now you have a break in the piece that was supposedly sealing it up to the yeser. Over there, arba'a tfachim would be the shear. Once it's arba'a, by the way, as Tosis points out, it's not really the same, because the yeser you have up until and including yeser to be kosher. The arba'a, once it's arba'a, it can be al arba'a. And that's simply because of the way the shiurim work. Remember that Eser is the standard shiur of a petach, in which case if we're viewing it as a petach, then Eser is still a petach. Arba'a is considered to be a makom kosher b'fnei atzmo, therefore once it's open already, then it's no longer a whole wall. The question, of course, is what's wrong with having another door? Okay, this is exactly what the Gemara is about to ask. Because remember, the way that we understood yesterday, the closing discussion we had of Rav Ami and Rav Asi, is that there would be no problem at all if you have a break on the side, even though that opens up into a Rishut HaRabim, as in picture 17. And even if people decide they want to walk out that door, who cares? You're allowed to have extra doors. And as long as we have a kosher mavui from that point on, we're mavata the Tarat mavui, everything's okay. Now all of a sudden, we're opening here the Pandora's box of, well, what do we do if there's another door in the front of the mavui? The area where the Korah is. Asks the Gemara, well, why is that a problem? Maishma mitzido be'esra. I don't understand you. You said that 10. I mean, obviously, if you're saying 10 on the side, it's because 10 amot is the shir of a petach. The amot petro. So why can't we say also? Mirosho? Let's say Rosho. Not in the name of petro. Can't we just view that break as a petach? Omer of Unabereda of Yoshua, we can indeed. The case that we're referring to over here of Arba'at Fachim is Kigon Shemifrat Bekeren Zavit, The pitcha bekerem zavit lo avdi imshi. What we're looking at, I'm not sure whether we have a picture for this either, but
there's a small picture here.
We got a nice big colored picture in here, Richie, so that's essay.
That.
Yeah. Number 28. Right up here. Right. See, nice pictures. How about in the back over there? 28. Pekaf is right there in the Kerem Zavit at the edge. That's no place for a doorway. No intelligent person makes a petach in the door like that. Of course, as Tosis points out, yesterday we were perfectly happy to have those diagonal petachim over there. Wasn't that a Kerem Zavit? And remember, we're trying to figure out, according to Yosef, how do we get two petachim in this space? We said, put it in Kerem Zavit. That's fine, says Tosafot over there. It's talking about that you were mitakeh in the petach, and so on. And it looks really nice, and that's fine. That's not the right case. Yeah, that is big. That's it, but exactly. So there in Okinami it would be considered to be a petah, but under the circumstances where it's a break in the corner, that's already takes it away from the din of a petah. Rav Huna Amar. Now this should be Rav Huna Amar Rav, so that we really have a machloket. The Rosh points this out. We have a machloket here between Rav Chanin bar Rava and between Rav Huna as to what Rav had said. So, although according to Rav Chanin bar Rava, Rav was ready to accept a petach of eser amot, that is to say, on the tzad, and for that matter, even Miro Shov, if it wouldn't have been in the Kerem Zavit, is the way we're coming out now, because how else could we justify the difference between Rosh Shov and Sido? But Rav Huna says that that's actually not what Rav said at all. And what Rav said was, Echad zevi arba'a, and we do not accept any petach at all on the side that you said, ten amot mapito. And of course, later, we're going to ask, what about the way that everybody was accepting Rav Amei and Rav Asi yesterday? Now all of a sudden it's a problem. We know that there was enough loket and so on. That we'll get to. Right now we're talking about this as if we've never met it before. Says Rav Huna to Rav Chanan bar Rava, look, don't you argue with me about what Rav said, because I can tell you an actual fact in a case of how Rav paskened. V'chein omale Rav Huna, Rav Chanan bar Rava, lo tiflag aloi. Don't argue with me. The Rav ikla the damcharia, the avad of the kavati. It happens to be Rav once came to the town of damcharia. That's a pretty rotten town if you think about it. But that's the kind of damcharia. But it turns out it was a pretty bad place. And he paskin like me to pasal a mavui that was more, you don't even need more, that was arba tvachim, and not accept eser amot. How do you explain that? According to you, that he should have accepted eser amot. Or marlei, well, talking about, says Rav Chanan bar Rava, talking about places that don't have good mechitzas. Let me tell you, that damn charia, boy, that didn't have a good mechitzah at all. Rav bika matzah, of course, a metaphorical mechitzah. Rav found a wide open place, meaning where nobody had set up gedorim at all, and they weren't makbid on Torah. The gadar bageder, and he built the right kind of fence for a place like that, because he knew if you start giving them heterim of eseramot, you know, you give them a finger and they take a hand, and therefore he was machmer on them. But miikar adin, Rav certainly agrees with me that there is such a thing as a petach in a mavui of eseramot, and not only in a chatzar. We saw earlier that the dinim of a chatzar, we accepted ad eseramot for sure. Didn't seem anybody argued about that. Omer Navu bar Yitzhak, the truth is that kavati de Rav Huna mistava. It's more reasonable to accept what Rav Huna is saying in the name of Rav, that we do not tolerate a petach in a mavui, other than, of course, the petach that has the kar on the left. The itmar, mavui akum, if you have a mavui, take a look at that little picture that you have on the side there, that runs between two rishuyot harabim that are connected at their end at 90 degrees. So if, one is going onto the avenues and one is going onto the streets. And they're connected as basically a little turn, it's a dalad, that goes from one Rishut HaRabim through the Mavui into the other Rishut HaRabim. It looks like it could be used as a shortcut. You have a nice picture? Sure we do. Look at this pretty picture. Number 31. Pretty typical situation. So how do we view this Rishut HaRabim, this Mavui? Well, we could look at each one of these as a separate mavui that has a petach to its side. Because, in other words, I'm standing at the front of the mavui. I look to the back of the mavui, it's all closed. I look in the front, facing the Rishut HaRabim, I've got a korah across the top. I come to the end of the mavui, and there's a door. I mean, it's not worse than a door into Rishut HaRabim. You said it's okay to have a door into Rishut HaRabim, right? Okay, so if that's the case, we shouldn't have a problem. Of course, then you're the other one. Whichever Mavri we're in, we look at it as being separate at the end, and we have to worry about a door.
We don't need a corridor and lechi.
Only on the part that's facing the Rishat HaRabim. Why should we need anything else? So it seems to be two mavuis with an opening, as if the opening goes to the street. Over here, the opening leads into a mavui that goes to the street. Certainly not worse because of that. And yet, Rav says, Torato kimefulash, that the mavui is viewed as broken open. Doesn't have a machitza at the other end. Now, obviously, if Rav holds that we tolerate doors in mavuis, well, why in the world is a mavui mefulash? This is exactly the case of Rechon and Barava, where he claimed that according to Rav, you could have an opening of Esra Amod. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that the width of this mavui is more than Esra Amod. And that's why it's not a good petah. Impossible. I'll show you why. Let's take a look at the case. So Rav amar Torato kimefulash, Ushmuel amar Torato kisatum. Now, I ask you, tell me what the case is. What am I asking on? Ilema biyoter mi eser? We're talking about what? That this mavui is like you're thinking, that it's wider than Ten Amot. You're telling me that according to Shmuel, he would have said Torato kisatum in such a case. How could he say such a thing? I mean, nobody accepts a mavui that has an opening in it that's more than Ten Amot. So elamav bi eser. So clearly we're talking about over here where the mavui is not more than eser. And nonetheless, Rav is saying Torato kimefulash, which implies that the pirtza on the side over here is, which is a pirtza to the mavui that leads out into the street, is not acceptable to him. Why not? Because it's more than four tvachim. So alma pirtzat mavui mitzido be'arba'a. Now what are you going to do about that? Says Rav Chanan Bar Rava, that happens to be special things. Because anybody that needs to get through to the middle of the other street, instead of fighting the traffic, is going to cut through the mavui. Because it takes him into the middle of the other street. That's perpendicular to this one. He saves himself the light and all the traffic. So he cuts to the mavui. So if that's the case, you've got a mavui to back a barabi. This turns out to be a mavui in which anybody passing through can take advantage of it. Once that's true, the bikiyat rabin is mavato
hepetah.
Breakthrough. The rabin breakthrough. Public breakthrough. And breaking it through, it becomes an extension of the street. Since an extension of the street, you can't look at it as a mavui any longer.
It's
a piritza. It's not a petah.
Wait. It's not a mavui. It's not two mavuis, or is it not even one?
Well, now, before we get into these questions, which are all excellent questions, we need to recognize that there are two approaches to the machlokas Rav and Shmuel itself. I've presented it as if it's very straightforward. We look at each mavui separately, and therefore we don't have to worry about the petah. And all you got to do is have your lechi or your korah on the end that's facing Rishat HaRabim, and everything is fine. The problem is that Rashi brings a pshat from his Revi, that when we say Torato kimefulash, that the din is that you need what you would normally need in a mavui that is mefulash to Rishat HaRabim on either end, which is that you need a tzirat ha-petach on one end, and a lechi and a korah on the other. And you can't be matir a mavui mefulash. We've been talking all along about mavui that are stumim. They come to a dead end. If you're talking about a mavui that's mefulash, then you're going to need, besides the lechi, the korah on one end, to create a virtual mechitza on the other end, and that is a tzirat ha-petach. It clearly works as a mechitza. So if you're telling me torato kimefulash, then you would need a two tikkunim. Where would you be mitakein? Therefore, it says Rashi, if you hold torato kimefulash, and this is Rebbe's pshat, you need the sides that face the Rishat HaRabim. You need your lechi or your korah. And the sides that are open into each other is where you put your tzirat ha-petah. So that according to him, picture number 29 is what we would be looking at. A tzirat ha-petah right in the middle. And then, even diagonal is fine. And that way, you save yourself the need for closing it up, because you virtually closed it up, but you still have your lechi or your korah for each one of these mavuyot themselves, on the side that they open up into Rishat HaRabim. And we're looking at the pilush as each one being the equivalent of mufulash into Rishat HaRabim, because it's mufulash into the other one.
So it's sort of open.
Why not? Sure. Wherever you put it, it creates a petah.
Why is that considered two mavoyim? Because of the term? I mean, it seems, you know.
Well, so that, in other words, if you hold it satum.
Yeah.
Then, again, the simple way that I explained it is that, Einachinami, you you look at each one as if it's as a doorway to another Rosh Hashanah on the other side.
No, which is the simplest way to look at it. Could we look at this as one Mabo, which is Mefulash?
Which is Mefulash to Rosh Hashanah?
Which is Mefulash, not Satum. But open, so you have just, in other words, this is just closed anyway.
Right.
This is like this one.
Well, because in reality, I do have Shalosh Mechitzas for each one. In other words, if it were really open, the normal meaning of Mavon Mefulash is it would have run straight from one street to the next. Except it wouldn't be 16 amot wide, and therefore wouldn't have a din of Rosh Hashanah. But over there, I only have two Mechitzot. Here, I have three Mechitzot, but I have a Petach to another Rosh Hashanah.
Like, which is trying to say, it's like Pirtza.
Which is like the Pirtza. So we have an advantage over here, because to view it as a Mavon Mefulash ignores the fact that each one has three Mechitzot. It's mefulash in the sense that you can walk through it, which is the Baki Barabim issue, but it's not mefulash in the sense of the technicalities of the mefitzot surrounding it.
The technicalities being the 90-degree turn.
Correct. But the reality is that this is a third...
Turn, if it was just a sort of a winding...
We'll get to it. Okay. Believe me. Let's take it easy. Okay. So therefore... If you hold Torah Tokim Mefulash, it would mean you put in a Tzrat HaPesach. If you hold Torah Tokim Satum, then it would be fine, because you would ignore that, and that would become the Petach, and everything would be okay. Now, the other, if you're going to tell me now, let's read then through the Gemara's argument, and if you tell me that it's more than Esser, is it possible that in this case Shmuel would have said that it's a Kisatum? Since it's more than Esser, we'd have to look at it essentially as one Mavui Mefulash. Let's open up into the Rosh Hashanah. Fine. The other pshat that Rashi brings, this is fine, this is the other way I explained it, it's very straightforward, very simple. But the other pshat that Rashi brings is that when you say Torah Tok is Satum, it means that you view the place where it hits the other lechi, the other mavui, each one of them, is the equivalent of a mavui satum, and you put a lechi on its side. Now, we don't know exactly where that comes from. According to which, when we're asking, would Shmuel say that satum if it's more than Eser? Would he say it's sufficient to have a lechi where there's more than Eser? Is the din not that a lechi is only matir, a mavui, which is Eser? So that would be the other way of looking at the question. Right? First way is, how could he be matir as satum if it's more than Esser, then it's patuah? The second way of looking at it is, would Shmuel have been matir to say it's kisatum, meaning not that it's kisatum in the sense of not requiring anything, but that a lechi would be matir if it's more than Esser? A lechi cannot be matir. So it's according to this, because of Richie's objection, that in effect we have over here, you can't simply view this as a petach, because it's now patuach actually to the Rishut HaRabim on the other end, and it does all go around, in which case how can you really pretend that it's not one mavui? It's all very nice in terms of mefitzas to say it's got three mefitzas, but the fact is it's a mavui that goes from Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaRabim, which was Richie's objection. Because of that objection, the Rebbe, of Rashi's Rebbe's pshat, is that you do need a tikkun at the corner. But the tikkun that you give it is the tikkun of a mavui satun. In other words, we view each one indeed as having a problem of being batuach l'rishut harabim. Okay, but you put in a lechi there because it's really open to a mavui, not to a rishut harabim. In which case, the whole kasha is a different kasha. Would he have said that it's kisatun? Meaning, would we have been matirit with a lechi if a lechi is only matir or a mavui, that's eser. Okay? It's a different way of looking at it. And one of them incorporates Richie's objection and views the fact of where it's open to as the determining factor in how to define the mavui. And the other one ignores Rich's objection and views only the technicality of the mechitzot, which keeps it simple.
So the diagonal is a lechi in the corner?
Yeah, now according to this, this would be what you'd have to do. You'd have to have a lechi here for the akmimut. That would be satun. And then a lechi here and a lechi here. Or a korah here and a korah here, of course.
See, it's the diagonal. It could be that it's less than Esser Amos. It would be more when it gets on the diagonal.
Mm. Yeah, you would make up. That's true.
It doesn't matter.
It does. No, it's true if it has to be in the diagonal. That's it.
And even that has to be in
the
diagonal.
Yeah.
But also, this you couldn't. The
Mavui becomes. The Mavui was always Rishut HaYachid. But now it becomes Rishut HaYachid even Midrabbanan.
and therefore you can carry within it. You can't carry out from the chotzer into the mavri unless you make an eruv, of course. But in the mavri itself, you could carry around the mavri.
No, but in this case, is there a connection to the chater? No, in this case, there isn't a connection.
Of course there is. They made the doorways a little bit too small to see the Spanish.
Instead of doing one...
Otherwise, it's not a kosher mavri. You can't be mater with a lechi korah.
Instead of doing one lechi korah diagonal, would there be any advantage of doing two, one in each?
The only advantage would be, as Reb Mutig has pointed out, is that you'd avoid the problem of an oversized...
But then you'd have a shetach
in the middle that you wouldn't use, would be a disadvantage. Okay, so now the problem is that we seem to have shown that according to Rav, we will not accept a Pirtzit HaMavon, which proves what it was that Ravuna was saying that Rav said. How does Rav Chanan bar Rava explain this? Says Rav Chanan bar Rava, Shanei Hatam Tekabaki Bar Rabbi, that the case over here specifically is limited to where the rabbi cut through, which is why we have the problem of needing a tikkun as opposed to simply viewing it as a pitach. Which means that what? That when Rav Huna said, oh man, now you're really confusing me. See, I took for granted that the case was all along in the original minor of Rav, that Betzido is the Eser and Barosho is the Arba. I took for granted that we were talking about Baki Barabim according to Boshitot. You know why I took that for granted? Because I assumed that the difference between Rav's case and Rav Ami and Rav Azi, who said before that there's no problem of an Eser, if you've got a Pirtz of Eser in the Mavud. So the way I understood it was, the case of Rav Ami and Rav Azi was not a case where Rav and were cutting through. Why not? Because the original case, which showed this, a street on either side, I assumed was not the case. I assumed that the case was that the side door opened into a garbage dump, or something like that. The break opened into a dump of some kind that nobody would be comfortable cutting through. And therefore, it was not Baki Baravi, and we accepted it as a door as if there was a chutz in there. It's a big deal. And the case of Rav, who didn't accept the 10 Amot, I assumed, was because there was a street there, and it was Baki Baravi. But now you're telling me that the original case of Rav was a case of Baki Baravi, and that nonetheless, when Rav Huna was saying, in other words, Rav Huna, who said, we will not accept a Petach of Eser, once it's for Tfachim, it's no good, it's even if Rabim are not Bokim Bos. So then what was the case of Rav Ami and Rav Asi? How come we never objected to the case of Rav Ami and Rav Asi? Because you're saying even if people don't break through, then it's still not acceptable to have a Petach according to Rav Huna. Mashlam and Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Answers the Gemara, there's another problem, which you don't take into consideration. Hatam to Ika Gidudi. The case of Rav Ami and Rav Asi was not what we had originally thought. The case of Rav Ami and Rav Asi was this, where we have a break, and the break doesn't go all the way down to the ground. So there's a gidude, so a little piece sticking up from the bottom, just enough to make it uncomfortable. You have to step over it, so it's not low. So therefore, they don't go straight because of the gidude. Therefore, we don't view it over there as being Rabim Bokimbo because of the fact that it has a physical obstruction to the Rabim Bokimbo. That was the only case where we were ready to tolerate the opening in the side. And we've seen this even in terms of a din of Rishut HaRabim. We saw earlier in Masechet Shabbat, if you've got things in the Rishut HaRabim, the Amudim, or various types of gidude, puddles, and so on and so forth, things that prevent you from walking directly are considered to change the halacha of that area. So the same way it does it there, over here too, it's not considered to be b'kiyat rabbi.
It doesn't take into account the general thing, whether it's been like that originally and actually. No, you see that the case of the okru...
There or here?
No, in the case of like the mobile okru, nothing like that. It's so much like it's built that way so that people know, as opposed to the wall breaking down, that's only coming. Whether it's built like that or came later.
People discover right away where they're going to make a shortcut, that's it. You know,
take over.
It's like when you find your favorite parking place that nobody knows about.
And then they take over.
It's your favorite parking place for about 3 days.
And you never pull out the car.
Okay. You lose it. All right, so just to review, we have there our earlier, the way we're coming out here in the Machlokes, is that we have earlier a case of Rav Ami v'Rav Asi where we have a Pirtza of Eser Amot in the side that has Gidudim. It isn't broken all the way down to the ground. And therefore, even though it does cut between two streets, nonetheless, because it's not Noach to be used, there they accept, and Rav would have agreed, I accept a petach, but I will not accept a petach if Rabim or Bokimbo, if it's open directly. On the other hand, if it's less than four tfachiyut, so then it's not considered to be a break at all, because that distance, although it's not lovut, isn't kosher. Kila atzmo, as a break of a mela, that would be kosher. According to the other pshat, Rav Chanan bar Rava's pshat in Rav, we would be masking to any type of non-bekiya bo rabi, if it's just from a place where it's not a main street, and people, it's not a thoroughfare. And therefore, according to him, we accept the side, even if we don't have gidudi, as long as it's not welcome to break and bay rabi, because they simply don't use it.
It's like it broke out into the chatzay,
or the side, is that what you're saying? No, breaking into a chatzay creates other problems in terms of eruv, but it would be the equivalent in terms of mefitza, yes, that's true. Tana Rabbana. This is all very nice when it comes to a mogli. Kate said, Ma'arvim derech reshut harabim. Now, what we thought that this means is that we could take an actual reshut harabim. Remember that reshut harabim, in terms of a city, is defined as, and let's talk about the Midbar, Bishan, that Yisrael are moving to the Midbar, is defined as a corridor, essentially. You have to have something that leads from one end of the city to the other, which everyone in the city with a minimum population of 600,000 men, besides the rest of the population, perhaps, it's a question, we'll talk about that in a moment, use this road, according to some, daily, and because we patterned it on the Midbar, which is wide enough for the trucks of the Levian to pass through side by side, which means that's to be 16 amot wide. And that is a sort of rarer kind of situation, which because of the realities of the Middle Ages, there was no Rishut HaRabim during the entire period of the Poskim, in which you would actually have such a shear. Tosfos actually, yes, it's very interesting. Why do we say 600,000 when we know that we had all the Erev Rav that weren't counted because they weren't in the Mishpachotayim? We had all of the women and children. There's been millions of people. So why are we taking a 600,000 as a number? And he says a very interesting thing. His approach is you only can learn from those things that are defined. You don't learn from things that are undefined.
And that's the only thing that's defined.
So since the Torah defines the Mishkan, the 600,000, that's the only thing that it's being marked it on in terms of the Limud. Okay, but in any event, until now we've taken for granted, except the case that we saw Libet Rabbi Yehuda back in Shabbat, that if you've got a place that's open in that way, it's a real Rishut HaRabim, there's nothing you can do about it other than seal it up. But you can't put on these virtual mefitzot to close up a real Rishut HaRabim, which is the ultimate in Rabim Bokimbo. And yet the Brisa says, you could make an Erev through a Rishut HaRabim. How? Oset Surat HaPetach Mikan V'lechi V'kora Mikan. You would just have to close up one side with a Surat HaPetach and then put a Lechi and Kora on the other side. Res Chananya Omer, it's a Machlokes, says Chananya between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai Omerim, Oset Delet Mikan, V'delet Mikan, U'kushu Yotze V'nechnas Noel. You need to have doors that are locked when they're finished being used. So you walk in and then you close the door behind you. If you have a gate like that on either side of the city, so then, in Achinami, the Rishut HaRabim is not viewed as a Rishut HaRabim because you can't freely walk through it. And then, okay, then you could carry. Beit Hillel Omrim, you don't have to go that far. Os Delet Bikan, you could have a Delet on one end. Note that he doesn't specify whether it needs to be closed after use. You put a Delet on one end, and a Lechi, and a Korah on the other end. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. What? We're talking about a real Rishut HaRabim? Rishut HaRabim, mean the Arva? You mean to tell me you could carry across a Rishut HaRabim? Vatanya, I mean, even Rabbi Yehuda, remember Rabbi Yehuda's case was, Rabbi Yehuda's sheet of his, that if you even have two Mechitzot, then you don't have a Rishut HaRabim as defined in the Midbar. It's not a real Rishut HaRabim. And therefore, if you have a home on either side of the street, was the case that we had back in Shabbat. So in the Braita, the case is you build over the street, such as we find often in the Rova, you have a second story that the street cuts under, and when you're in the house, you basically are walking over the street from one end to the other. So if you want to carry from the front door of one house to the door that you have on the other, so to speak, house, you could carry, according to Rav Yehuda, because we would say, Pitikra Yorek Vesotein, of your second story.
which is over the street. It comes down in that area.
So right
that
in
area is close to the bridge.
You walk under the bridge.
And you could carry under the bridge. Right. But Yetra can, Rabbi Yehuda even takes it a step further. Yetra can Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Now, obviously, we're not interested in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion right here. We're going to point to Rabbanah, but we're getting to that. Yetra can, Misha Yalo Shnei Batim, Shnei Tzereshet, Rishut Rabbi. If you own two houses on either side of the street and you don't have the bridge, second story, what you can do is you could osa lechimikan velechimikan, o koramikan vekoramikan, venosein then. All you got to do is mark either end, and you could carry in between. So put a korah across the street on one side, and then on the other side, you carry between the two doors that are on either side of your korah, or on either side of your lech. Omrulo, so that everybody shouts at Rabbi Yehuda, ein marvim reshut harabim bekar. Nonsense. A reshut harabim cannot be mu'rab. Now, you'll say, but that's not what they said. They said bekach. But that means that they would accept something, like the delet, or the tzurat ha-petach. So maybe that's what you'll tell me. V'chitem bekach hu delo ma'arava. Habid latot mi'arava. That actually they would have accepted the latot, but that's not true, because Omer Rabba Bar Barfana Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim, ilmale daltotea ninalot balayla, chayavin alam mishum reshut harabim. And if not for the fact that Yerushalayim, with its cardinal, has gates that are locked at night, or closed at night, since you have there a population of 600,000. So therefore, you would have had a din of Reshut HaRabim, and there would have been nothing to do about it. Now that the gates are closed, now it becomes a gigantic chutzner, so to speak. Obviously, it needs an Eruv, but you could make an Eruv. And if you didn't make an Eruv, so fine, so there's a din of a Carmelite. And you, but you're certainly not Mechuyev on it as a Reshut HaRabim.
Until the beginning of the 20th century.
The gates here. Yeah, we'll see about the current matzav of the gates we're going to talk about. So what's the question? No, so we said, but with gates, it's okay. That's what Rava says. With gates, it's okay. What exactly is the question? Because there's a number of ways of learning. So Rashi learns the problem is that the mashmaut is that you need a gate on either end. This is a malik al tatan. Whereas you just quoted. Delat mikan, the lechi the koramikan. So, the latot is mashmi need both ends. The malik sharem, you know, we had the latan, you know. Therefore, you couldn't have been ma'ariv or reshut harabim with any type of virtual mechitza. You would have needed actual mechitzas on either end, and that's the only thing that takes off the reshut harabim. Because reshut harabim, by definition, is not defined by four mechitzot. Four mechitzot creates reshut hayachid, no matter how many people are inside that reshut hayachid. Okay, that's how Rashi learns. Others learn that the question over here is in Rabbah is maybe the fact that it says Ninalot. Right, we didn't say anything about Ninalot before. So why do you say a Delet and a Lefi Nekora? Delet's not enough. It means a closed Delet. Okay, but in any event, it's not certainly not what Bekir Lilith said. Furthermore, Ula said the same thing. The Avulah de Bechuza, those famous gates in Bechuza that had the buildings on top of them. If it wouldn't be, because Bechuza was also an enormous city for its time, with a population of 600,000 that had a cargo going through it, and therefore it would have been a real Reshut HaRabim if not for the fact that the gates are actually shut at night. You don't need Jews. You need just usage. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Hachi Kama says Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, let's adjust that. It didn't mean how to be ma'ariv Reshut HaRabim. It meant how to be ma'ariv what we call a Reshut HaRabim. What we call a Reshut HaRabim are the main streets of the city. Is Reshut HaRabim. Now those streets, they are what you got. The fact that they may not satisfy the 16 amot requirement. Okay, so technically speaking, they're really nivoot. Maybe you've got some serious streets in town, right? And those are Reshut HaRabim. But then that means that the side streets, which may also be used by millions of people, but they're not 16 amot wide, they open up into a Reshut HaRabim. So they're not really Reshut HaRabim, they're just Mivot that are used as if they're Reshut HaRabim. That's what we're talking about over here. What we should have said is, Ketzed Marvin Mivot HaMefulashim L'Reshut HaRabim. What exactly can we do about a case where you're going to be having a house on either side of a street over here? Take a look in the picture that you've got on your in the Tosfos.
where you've got a narrowing of the Rishut HaRabim. Yeah, whatever. There's a narrowing of Rishut HaRabim, and then it breaks out into Rishut HaRabim again. It's 16 amot on either end, and the middle piece is less than 16 amot. So that means that the Rabim are going straight through over here, which is why we're calling it the Rishut HaRabim. And in such a case, if you've got something similar to this, that the way to be moderate would be the way that Beit Hillel is saying. Close off one side, you have a Dela, the other side you can use a Lachi Bekorah. That's only because it's not really a Rishut HaRabim. What do you got?
I like this picture.
Can you count them? Or? They're clones. My God.
Wait, do clones count? Does that count as one? Or
no, there's a whole problem. That counts as one. All right, so now, according to this, I just want you to know that in the end, we don't really come up with a shita that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could be ma'arev or Rishut HaRabim of 16 amot. The Gemara ends up in being docher, the 16 amot scenario, which creates a little bit of a question because, as Tosfos points out, our sugya seems to be accepting the fact that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would be dealing with a real Rishut HaRabim, and we're saying, forget about that case, we're talking about mevo'ot ha-mefulashim to Rishut HaRabim, and so that means that in the end, the machlokas over here with Rabbi and the Rabbanu was talking about our case. So then what do we do about the Hananya and the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? Which is why you've got these two pictures in the Tosfos. You'll notice that there's two ways of listening to the words Movli HaMefulash Rishut HaRabim. One is that you've got two Rishut HaRabims with a Movli in between. That's the lower picture, correct? In that case, the Rishut HaRabim doesn't go straight through the Mavli. The Rishut HaRabim is on either side, and you've got a connecting alleyway which you can cut through for one Rishut HaRabim to the other. Nobody is going to confuse that alleyway with Fifth Avenue on the one side and Sixth Avenue on the other side. Those avenues, those are the real Rishut HaRabims. And then you've got these Mavod streets that connect between the Rishut HaRabim. That, Lamaisa, is the type of mavo'ot between Rishut HaRabim that we could be talking about, whereas what Rabbi Yehuda would be talking about here is where it is a Rishut HaRabim, because it's a narrowing in the flow of the traffic of Rishut HaRabim, and everybody has to go through it. But it doesn't have the 16 amot, possibly. Okay, we're calling, in other words, our Rishut HaRabim, Tosfos says, in the case of Rabbi Yehuda, is the upper picture, and in the case where we're saying, no, it's actually mavo'ot, I'm a fulashot. It's not that the Rishut HaRabim is the Mavui, it's that the Mavui connects between two Rishut HaRabims. We would never have been matir the case of Rabbi Yehuda where the Rabbanan said, no, you can't do that. That was the upper case. And the case that we're talking about that you can do is where the traffic doesn't flow entirely through the Mavui, but rather you're being matir a Mavui, which is mefulash to a Rishut HaRabim. And therefore we give a dinim of Rishut HaRabim, but we may kill in that you could put a left-hand car on one end with this is the Machlokes Hananya, according to Hananya, according to Beit Hillel, you need a Delet and a Lechi Korah, according to Beit Shammai, you need two Dletot. Okay? The Tanakama, it turns out, according to Reb Yehuda, it's a maximum of 13 amot and a third. But we'll see the logic for all that much later. So here, basically, we're left with a Machlokes between the Tanakama and Beit Hillel, according to the way Hananya is learning, in which the Tanakama is ready to accept its Tzirat HaPetach, and Beit Hillel insists on having an actual door. All this in order to be mitaken, mivo'ot, that go between one Rishut HaRabim and the other Rishut HaRabim. At this stage in the Gemara, it's possible that we believe that a true Rishut HaRabim can take a Lechi or a Korah according to Rabbi Yehuda, or it's possible that we already know, says Tosfos, that that is not the case, and we're calling it a Rishut HaRabim because even though it's technically a Mavoi Mefulash, but since it's in the direction of the flow of traffic, we're giving it a din of Rishut HaRabim, even though it's not 16 amot. Okay? So we've introduced a lot of interesting terminology over here and concepts, including the width of Rishut HaRabim, the utilization of Rishut HaRabim, the difference between the levels of virtual mechitzot, which include from the maximum of the Tzurat HaPetach as a virtual mechitza, down to the possibility of a korah, which maybe doesn't even work, as a mechitza, but only as a heker. And then we have the full treatment of a mechitza would be a delet that is closed. And then it's possible that we're ready to accept a delet that can close, because we never found in Beit Hillel an insistence that the delet actually close. Maybe a delet would be just sort of a stylized mechitza. Maybe it works like a super tsurata feta, in which people see it and they say, aha, so we're more like a heker. In other words, if you walk out Shari Yafo and look at that, it actually has doors, and every once in a while you notice that. And generally speaking, it's ignored completely. Maybe that's the point. Maybe they don't even have to be movable mechitzot. So there's three possibilities in understanding the doors. By the way, the doors are becoming more popular nowadays, you should know, in American cities for use of as mechitzot. In order to be matir, larger cities that really do have Rishut HaRabim. And it's quite a challenge to get the authorities to be willing to put up doors across superhighways. However, it's, believe it or not, it's done.
Totally not.
It's done. No, no. In places where they... No, they put up the Tzarech Le'eruv.
Where?
They put up... There's a number of large cities.
Where?
They have...
They
have... That, okay, not everybody wants to rely on it, but they have gates, which, as we'll see, according to many shittas, don't need to really be closed. They only need to be closable. So you have to establish once that they're closable. So you close them once, you know. How they get people to accept it.
You call it art.
That's right. Yeah, that's it. That's simple. Yeah. Okay, so, in any event, getting back to the shitas now, because we don't quite understand Beit Hillel Shita yet, and we don't quite know what it is he's mechayev. We don't know how to paskin. So therefore, continues the Gemara now to bring us to a psak. So the last thing we learned was our sikis ketzav marvin nevot abfulashim l'rishut harabim, not really the actual rishut harabim. According to the Tanakhama, you only need a tzurat petach on one end and then a lower level of lucky v'korah on the other end. And Rav says that's how we paskin. Hilchot ketanakhama, whereas Shmuel says halacha kechananya. Now the question is, Chananya never told us what Beit Hillel requires, according to him, right? So Iboyu, L'Chananya Liba de Beit Hillel. He mentions Dlatot without telling us whether they need to be shut or not. Sarich Linol, Oin Sarich Linol. Do the doors have to be closed after use or not? And by the way, there's a machlokus about how often that closure would have to be. There's some who learn that so long as the doors are not meant to be closed because people will be coming in and out all the time. So let's say during the regel in Yerushalayim, so then at that point, it will turn into a Rishut HaRabim while they're left open. Others learn from Shlomo Kluger Paskins that as long as most days it's closed at night, that's enough, and so on. But I mean, there's actual discussion among the Poskim about Heter of Rishut HaRabim. Toshmad Yom Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Eino Tzarich Linol. V'chin Amar Rav Mat Amar Shmuel, Eino Tzarich Linol. Even though Shmuel Paskin like Chananya, and therefore he was going like Beit Hillel, it was sufficient for him to have doors, but they don't need to close. Ikadayamri, others say, Rav Mazda didn't just report Shmuel. He said he actually had a case. But he did have a case that I asked the Shaila whether I needed to close the doors. And Shmuel paskin ein sarich linol. Also, Rav Anan was asked, the Bomi name Rav Anan, sarich linol or ein sarich linol. And he said, well, why don't you walk outside and talk fuzzy ani havule de Narda? Take a look at the gates of Narda, the timanat palgeo biafra. They're halfway covered with dirt on the bottom. You couldn't close those doors unless you were Og Melech HaBoshan, maybe. And nonetheless, Mar Shmuel, I have another Mar Shmuel v'lom v'lom ide. Shmuel would go in and out. He would carry there, and he never said a thing about it. Oh, you better clear out that dirt because the doors have to shut, and so on. There was no problem of shutting. Now, these doors, obviously, says Rashi, must have not been the equivalent of Avulah de Mechusa, which were doors on the entranceway to the city, because I thought we just said we're not looking to be matir Rishut HaRabim. We're looking to be matir only Mevo'ot HaMefulashim to Rishut HaRabim. And therefore, these Avulah de Mechuza are actually, Avulah de Narda are not Avulah de Mechuza. They were placed to seal off the Rishut HaRabim from the streets that open into Rishut HaRabim. So in other words, they weren't the gates to the city. They were basically the gates, which if you have a royal procession or something. So for security reasons, you close off the streets, and you have now just the car to open. It's how they close the streets with these gates. They haven't been used in a century. So they're half covered with dirt. Nonetheless, we view the streets as being Rishut HaYachid instead of being Mavoot HaMefulashim. And we were matir the other side with a luckier car. So clearly, according to Beit Hillel, you don't need to actually close the doors. The Rambam, on the other hand, and many of the Mefarshei Rambam explain that his mokar is indeed this. The Rambam holds that at the end of the sugya, we're talking about Rishut HaRabim itself. This creates all kinds of, as I mentioned earlier, halakhic ramifications, b'zman hazeh, and that this case, Avulei D'Narda, were the Avulei D'Narda. They were the gates to the city of Rishut HaRabim of Narda, and he's matir Rishut HaRabim as well. But we'll discuss this as we get more into the sugis in the Gemara. I'm just pointing it out to you now that it is a little strange that all of a sudden the Avulei are used in a completely different way than we use the Avulei D'Mekusa. Well, the thing is that Rav Kahana said you can't bring a raya from there because Hanach Megufot Havai. How were they covered with dirt? They were covered with dirt the way that Rechov Mamila used to be covered with dirt. In other words, they were half closed. They weren't open doors that were covered with dirt. Oh, you got a nice picture? A dirt picture? Well, I got nicer dirt than you. I mean, it really depends on the way. That's nice. Okay, but the Magufotayu is this picture, in which, yes, they couldn't be moved, but they were almost shut. So therefore they functioned as a machitza, but who said if you had wide open doors that couldn't close, that would be all right? Not necessarily so. So if you want to block an area, okay, you could block an area with half open doors. Those of you who remember before the war, Rehov Mamila had exactly that issue. You would have to do your little circuitous kind of dance to get from one end to the other, because you had these, like, in places you just had the machitzas that crossed each other, but you also had those metal doors that were half open, and you went around the side. So that's already a closed door. Therefore, you can't prove anything from there. And as a matter of fact, it's even worse, because when Reb Nachman came now to Narda, he said, Panuel Alfraim, get rid of all of that dirt. You mean that according to Reb Nachman, you have to actually close the doors in order to be mat to the Mavoyim Fulash? No, not necessarily. But you need at least, they have to be closable doors to be better than a tzirat ha-petach, even though that perhaps they're not actually closed. Afal pi she'ein nina alot. Now, who mavui akum?
In the days where it was mostly closed.
Right. Yeah. Now, who mavui akum, the Avi ben Arda? There was a mavui akum in Arda on which Rami alei churma de Rab and churma de Shmuel. They treated that mavui in a very nasty way. They gave it the chumras both of Rab and of Shmuel. And they said like this. Because of it, they were atzruchu dilatot. Now, Rashi is bothered, apparently, by the fact that it says dilatot. Where do you get dilatot?
Instead of delet?
Delet. How could it be dilatot? Nobody said, except Beit Shammai. I mean, certainly nobody was being mocked like Beit Shammai. So where did you get dilatot? Therefore, Rashi creates a surah of a chet, which you can see right there in your Rashi, in which it was open on either end to the same Rishut HaRabim. Okay? Now, not everyone agrees with Rashi for a simple reason. No idiot cuts a shortcut by taking a U-pipe. Exactly. So Vishleim, if you're talking about a Mavui that goes from one street into an avenue, so then it makes sense to make a shortcut through the Mavui. And that would be Baki Barabim. But why would anybody, you know, unless you happen to be Moaning Myrtle, why would anybody get stuck in the middle of a U-bend? What would be the point?
Because it's so crowded.
But what do you gain?
So faster through the
but that's certainly not called Baki Barabim. It's not called Baki Barabim. And therefore, who said in a case where it's not Baki Barabi that we would treat Bechalal as a Mavi Mefulash? Therefore, other Rishonim suggest that Latot doesn't mean more than one Delet. It means Torah to Latot. It was a Mechayev, a real Mechitza of a Latot category, rather than a Tzurat HaPetach and so on. Fine. So now, how did this work? They said, look, we're going to pass him like Rav. Rav is Machmer, remember, about a Mavi Akum. And he said a Mavi Akum is considered to be open. So therefore, Torah Tokim Mefulash. Ah, you'll say. But wait a minute.
But Rav holds that law is like the Tanakhana, and that it's okay to have a tzurat hapetz. Oh no, as far as that's concerned, we pass him like Shmuel, who says that halach is kechananya, and that you need a dillon. Ah, but wait, but Shmuel holds anyway, that's not called a bavim refulash. Ah, but for that, we pass him like Rav. We'll get you coming and going. And then, and now, it'll be Torah tokim refulash. Asks the Gemara, now wait a minute, you're not supposed to do that, that's cheating. Mi abdinan ketrei chumre? We don't pasken like two chumras. I mean, you got to make up your mind. V'atanya, l'olam halakha kebeit hilel. You pasken like kebeit hilel. Arotzela asot kedivrei beit shamai. You want to be machmir on yourself? Go like beit shamai. Bevakasha, oseh. Kedivrei beit hilel, oseh. But if you want to choose the best of both worlds, do the kulei beit shamai and the kulei beit hilel, then we call you a Russian. If you want to choose the worst of both worlds, you want to do the chumras of Beit Shammai and the chumras of Beit Hillel, you may not be a Rasha, but boy, you're stupid. And I love HaKatuv Amar, HaKsil B'Choshech Oleich. The fool walks in darkness. So what are these guys doing? They're going to say, well, in terms of whether it's considered to be a Mavri Mefulash, we're going to be Machmer like Rav. And we're going to say it's no good. I, Rav, holds, you don't need to have a Delit, even if it is Mefulash. In terms of that, we'll be Machmer like Shmuel. I mean, come on. So you want to be HaKsil B'Choshech Oleich? Ike Beit Shammai, be consistent. Kekuleyem v'kechumoreyem. Ike Beit Hillel, kekuleyem v'kechumoreyem. By the way, did you just contradict yourself? You said, before we get to that, Aguf Akash, you said, lo lam alakha kebeit Hillel, which seems to be pretty definitive. Then you said, it's basically up to you. Harotzel asot kedivrei Beit Shammai. Oseh, how's that? I thought that whole Mishnah, and then Rabbi Tarfon, and Gedaya Yifel, Achuv Batzmecha, and so on, and here we're leaving it up to your personal judgment. Lo kasha, kan kodim batko, kan liachar batko. One was before the batko came out to say halacha kebeit hillel, that we're going to learn all about that batko later on in this parak. So one may have been said from before, and the lo olam halacha kebeit hillel was said after. Vibay deima, or it may be ava liachar batko, and the shita over here that says that you still have your choice is Rabbi Yoshua, yolom mishgach bebatko, who doesn't hold a batkos, you know. So maybe that's the explanation. But that only deals with the harotzeh la'asot. It doesn't deal with aksil b'choshech oleich. Well, this sort of extends onwards, and we've got also to consider that it doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, if it's saying that that's called aksil b'choshech oleich, we ought to throw out the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch is always doing this. I mean, that's how he paskens. He's going to take, you know, the chumras of this and one in one area, the chumras in the other. I mean, the whole series of paskening, according to the row, wherever you got the two out of the three of the main paskening, is certainly not going to give you a consistent work of halacha. It won't be consistent according to anybody. So we say, oh, Shulchan Aruch is ksil b'choshech oleich. I mean, well, what exactly? She's gone out to town. Okay, so we're going to have to define exactly when we consider it to be Aksil B'Choshech Oleich. Obviously, the Gemara is going to do that, but even the Avodah over here, it's a little bit strange. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Can we actually listen to our